morning. Good morning. Good morning. We have a hope in our church where we believe that God is good and that all the time. Thank you. Thanks for being here and for the reminder. Some really brief announcements. You'll notice an insert to your bulletin that's all about relationships, small groups, book studies, Bible studies, just ways to build relationships and to grow in our faith. And I think there's 29 groups kicking off this fall that we want to invite you to. I think there's 7 new study leaders, facilitators, that have never done this before that are so excited to invite you. So if you would, give that a look over or a prayer over and sign up for something that's short-term or longer-term to build some friendships, relationships here. Secondly, wanted to remind you that at 12:30 today, there's a training for our respite ministry, which is a ministry for children with special needs. If you're interested in being a part of the training, we'd love to have you. If you just want to see what it looks like, this Friday we'll be gathering these beautiful kids, playing with them while their parents get to go out and have a night on the town on us. And then third, and I normally don't do a lot of these personal kinds of things because I feel like I get in trouble because everybody has something special or something going on in your life here or there, but there's a couple in our church that'll be married, thank you for the amen, married for 60 years, I think this, is it this Friday. Anyhow, Lee and Lloyd Stimson, would you stand just for a minute, just... So I wanted to honor them, not just for making it to 60 years, but to making it the way they've made it. Every once in a while, when I get a glimpse of them together, I think that's what I want to treat my wife like, if the Lord allows me those years. And it's beautiful, and you're an inspiration to us. We're so proud of you two. So I don't know if this happens to you on holiday weeks, but it was, of course, Labor Weekend, and I get goofed up on the garbage thing. Do you ever do that? Like, I thought, okay, they're going to be off a day because there's a holiday, so I don't have to put the garbage out a day early, and other people were doing that, and I thought, what's their problem? And then the garbage people came when they were supposed to come, and then I had an extra week of garbage. Does that ever happen to you? Have you ever gone into your own garage and you just thought, oh my gosh, is it time, you know, for a little air freshener or something? I don't know if any of you have ever missed a week of worship or a couple weeks and you just thought, oh my gosh, it's time to take the garbage out. You ever felt like that? Where you just feel like maybe an attitude or a behavior or a way of looking at life or other people. And our hope is that today you come here and you think, I am so loved. I am so forgiven. I have been given such a new start that it rearranges my attitude. And it's almost like you leave here lighter, like you've taken the garbage out. And maybe your family would go around you and say, oh, it just smells better here. And just welcome to worship. Would you bow and pray with me this morning? We recognize you, God, as the light of the world. And coming yourself in the person of Jesus, you offered to us the hope that we would see you in Christ. We welcome you this morning to flood our souls with your Spirit and your love and your forgiveness and your patience with us. Penetrate and possess our whole being so that our lives may also radiate your kind of love and goodness. Shine through us in such a way that those with whom we come in contact might feel something of your presence in our lives. Oh God, this morning we want you to have all that we are. We want to be with you so that we would shine your generosity and patience and wisdom and forgiveness and joy to a world that you love. We offer now our prayers in silence from those spaces in our lives that we know you need to hear about from us, as well as lifting those we know and love and care about to you. Pray this prayer in the name of Christ who came to teach us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
If you would remain standing for the reading of the gospel, I'd like to pray first. Join with me. Heavenly Father, we call on the power of your Holy Spirit to come into this place and open our minds, our ears, and our hearts. May the meditation of our hearts and the words of my lips be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. From the Gospel, according to Matthew, Jesus' last words. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The Great Commission for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I don't know about you, but like when I pulled in all week and see all this dirt being moved around and stuff, I get really excited, don't you? I mean, I'm not the only one, right? I mean, this is, and thank you, Greg and Dave, for that presentation about what is yet to come, right? It's exciting times to be in ministry, to think of what is coming to this beautiful place. But I want a word of caution, send out a word of caution to you all. If we only focus on the brick and mortar of ministry and not build relationships, we're going to fail. It's all about building relationships. And so today's message is entitled Forever Building. Not just brick and mortar, but relationships. Are you with me? The Life Pew Research Center has just produced a new study or the results of their survey, and they have reported that annually 40 million immigrants enter the United States every year. 40 million. And they went on to report that 4 out of every 5 adult Americans have checked off no religious affiliation. We become a nation of nuns. Now, I'm not talking about the Catholic nuns. I'm talking about N-O-N-E, nuns, no religious affiliation. I don't know about you, but that doesn't make me nervous. That makes me excited because that means our odds are pretty good in our favor, right? 4 out of every 5 people you meet are awaiting an invitation to come through those doors. 4 out of every 5. So, Our text today starts out with a call to action, right? A call out of our comfort zone. What I didn't share with you in the text is that the disciples are huddled together in a house. And maybe they're mourning the loss of Jesus. Maybe they were enjoying fellowship. Maybe they were knee-deep in a game of euchre. I don't know. But Jesus had to send a messenger to say, "Hey, you need to go up on the mountain." And so he sends a messenger to the disciples and they respond. They go and meet Jesus up on the mountain. And they were called out of their comfort zone. Now, we have a little bit of that going on here. On Communion Sunday, I don't know if you've noticed, but we've changed things up a bit, right? We've gone away from 2 stations and we've increased it to 4 stations. And there's purpose behind that. There's intentionality behind that. We've gone from coming inward to going outward. Coming inward to going outward. We've equipped more people to serve more people. That's purposeful. It's what the text is talking about today. Go and make disciples, right? And not only that, as we model that now, and expand from two stations to five stations if you include the gluten-free station. We are practicing and preparing for all the people that God is going to bring us in a new, bigger sanctuary. Are we not? God is calling us out of our comfort zone. And when he calls us out of our comfort zone, he calls us into action. He calls us into action. And I'm going to invite you into that action today. I want you to everybody grab their bulletin. And we have a three-part bulletin. We have two big sections and then a small section. And I don't know, this might be a secret to you, but this small section actually tears right off. It's called a tear-off. And if you look at the tear-off, down on the bottom, there's a small box there that says, I am praying for. And this is where your invitation to action comes in. I would like you to pick a name or two and write their name on this piece of paper. At the end of the service, after the benediction, you're going to be invited to come forward and lay that piece of paper that with that name or two in there. I want you to think of it this way. That's four out of five people that you know maybe can go on that piece of paper. So God calls us out of our comfort zone, and he calls us into action. Okay? And I am so grateful that for the last 30 seconds, I've been hearing people tear the paper off. You're taking the invitation and running with it, and that's glorious. Thank you. Now, once we've been called out of our comfort zone and called into action, we have to go do, right? We have to go out there and actually be in ministry and represent Christ. And I got to tell you, though, it takes the right approach. It really does. I mean, okay, so when I was in college and I saw the guy on the soapbox holding the sign, the end is near, right? That didn't really work for me, you know? What worked for me was an invitation to a small group. What worked for me was somebody wanting to build a relationship with me. I heard of the story of this barber who was so touched and moved by God that he just wanted to evangelize to everybody he could that came into his shop, okay? Now, this barber, well, he didn't look like... he didn't look like many of you. He was kind of rough looking. How can I put this politely? You might see him at a motorcycle rally, you know, maybe a Hell's Angels rally. Just anyway, you get the picture, right? He when you saw him, I don't know if you saw Christ right away, but he had experienced Christ in a way that transformed his heart, and he wanted to share that with people. And so what he did was he owned his own barbershop, and as men would come in to his barbershop, he would cut their hair, and then after he cut their hair, he would offer them a free shave. That's a pretty good deal, right? A free shave. And when they would say yes, he would lather them up with warm shaving cream, and they'd be all comfortable, and he'd get out his straight razor and take it against the leather belt and sharpen it. And then when he was ready to shave, he'd put his hand on their shoulder and hold the blade up, and he says, "Are you ready to meet your God?" It takes the right approach, right? It takes the right approach. Another approach that doesn't work is if we don't have an intimate relationship with God ourselves. Because I want you to hear me on this. You can't give what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. There's a story in Acts that people tried to do that. The seven sons of Sceva, I don't know if you're familiar with this story, but the seven sons of Sceva, they were kind of envious of Paul. Paul was on a rampage in Ephesus, just converting people and preaching the word and healing people and casting out demons. He was so successful that all he had to do was bless a piece of fabric, and he could give that piece of fabric to somebody and say, "Hey, go heal so-and-so." And that person would take that piece of fabric and go to the house, and that person would be healed. And the seven sons of Sceva, they were jealous. They wanted that. And so they tried to do that. And they met this guy who was possessed by a demon. And they said, "Demon, on behalf of the guy that Paul is talking about, come on out. Be gone." And the demon, he goes, "Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you?" And better, more importantly, he didn't obey him. And all of a sudden, he became Floyd Mayweather, and he put a whooping on him. I mean, the text says that the demon mastered all seven of them, and they left the house bruised and naked. They were crushed. We have to have a right relationship with God. You know, when the Morgans were here worshiping with us, their husband and wife, they were both FBI agents, and before they moved to Church of the Lakes, Dave invited me up to bring Anthony to the Cleveland FBI office. And so Anthony and I went up there, and he gave us a tour, and we went into the arms room, saw all the weapons and the sniper rifles and the flak jackets and all of that. And it was really cool. And the last place he took us in the FBI building was the FBI gift shop. I have this as proof. The FBI has their own gift shop. It's the only place that you can get authentic FBI gear. I even have an FBI logo on the back there. So I purchased this hat, right? Now, if I were to put this hat on and go out in public and see a criminal conducting a felony, right? Sure, I could go up and say, "Freeze! You're coming with me to jail." But as soon as he asks me for my credentials and I can't produce them, I'm getting a whooping, right? I don't have the right credentials. Like when we minister to people, we have to have the right credentials. We have to have Christ in us. And Scripture says that when we invite Christ into our hearts, He lives and dwells in us. He lives and dwells in us. And with that knowledge, we should know and trust and have the confidence that God prepares the way. You know, Psalm 139 says that God goes before us, goes behind us. If we go to the tallest mountain, God is there. If we go to the deepest valley, God is there. Jesus, in his last words in Matthew, says, "Lo, I am with you always to the end of the age." But what's holding us back? Why are we so fearful to share our faith? When we should have all the confidence in the world that Jesus is preparing the way. He is. Jesus prepares the way, and when we have Him in our hearts, we need to come and realize that beyond those doors lies our mission field, not our battlefield. Did you hear me? Beyond those doors lies our mission field, not our battlefield. And every person here has a mission field that God has prepared just for you. I want to share a story with you of a dear friend of mine that I lost a couple months ago. We were best friends, and we experienced the call to ministry in 2006. And I went to seminary, and he went to Bible college. I got appointed to this beautiful church, and he didn't have a church. And right before he died, I was over and visiting with him. And it was a good visit. And then all of a sudden, it got to a tender moment. And he says, "I need to ask your forgiveness." And I'm like, "What do you need to ask me for forgiveness for? You are so close to seeing heaven. You don't need my forgiveness." He says, "Well, I got to be honest with you. I've been jealous of your ministry." I'm like, "What? That's funny, because I've been jealous of your ministry." You see, he had worked in a maximum security prison and was ministering to inmates and prison guards. And when he came down with cancer, he was ministering to people, to doctors, to nurses in the James Cancer Clinic. The football team, OSU football players, came to visit to to visit him and to lift him up. And within 5 minutes, he had him sitting on the floor and he was witnessing to God's power to them. And it hit me that we can't be jealous of each other's ministry, because Ken could have never been able to come here and minister to you, and I could have never gone to the places that Ken ministered to. Do you get that? That's just like your work environment. I can't come to your office and minister to your coworkers. They don't know me, but they know you. You can be a representative for Christ in a place that I can't. In your families, in your schools. God has prepared a ministry field, a mission field, just for you. So I say to you, I challenge you, go and make disciples. Baptize them. Cast out all fear, knowing that God is with you. And God will empower you and equip you to be a forever builder, one of building relationships. And get excited about your odds. 4 out of 5 of the people you may know are waiting for an invitation to come into a place like this, are waiting to experience the God you know and you love. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we call on the power of your Holy Spirit to empower us to fulfill your mission that you have called us to be in cooperative mission with you to the 4 out of 5 that declare no religious affiliation. In Jesus' name, amen.